morning. I want you to think about a story that you love. A story that you love. Maybe you've loved it for a long time. Am I really loud? I don't know. I can't tell. Okay, I'm good. Any story. Could be one from your childhood. Could be one that you've grown up loving. Could be one that you've just come to love recently. Whatever it might be. And I wish would be true. Some of you, I can tell by the looks on your faces, you're already thinking about Star Wars, right? Okay. Maybe it's that. Maybe it didn't have to be a book. It could be a movie or a series of movies. And I know all the Star Wars people are like, I read the books. So, but anything, whatever the story is, it could be something that you've seen in movies or in cartoons or TV shows or that you've read about, for those of you that still read, and that you would want be true. Have you been in one of those positions where you've maybe finished a story and it's hard to put the story aside? Like, you almost feel a little bit of a loss that you're not in that story. You feel weird and disconnected, like, man, why can't that be real? What would the implications of that be, though, if it was true? Okay, like, if Harry Potter was for real, I mean, what would life be like? How many of you think that you would have powers? I mean, or would you just be a normal person in a magical world? And then there's always the bad kind of side of that too. Like, if people could really have that much kind of a power, like, okay, I can't move. I think, do I turn this off? Is that what it does? It's not on? Why do I only sound loud when I stand over here? Magical powers. I am in Harry Potter right now. Does that do anything? No. I'm just going to stand still. It's easier. Brent, you'll just figure out the mic when you get up here. Okay. Well, whatever it is, just think about what that story would be like if it was real and how the world would be different, good or bad. Okay? What I'm going to do today is I just want to put you in that frame of mind because there are almost these places that we just use our imaginations and we can fall in love with and we can just get lost in. And I want to tell you about a story that I do believe is 100% true. And that is a story that we read about in the Bible. It's a long story, I'll give you that. There's a lot of stuff that happens. Some of it gets confusing. Some of it gets weird. Some of it is fantastical or even magical feeling when you read. And we know that God is behind it and not a wizard or something else. But there's a lot to this story. This story is, as Chris was saying earlier, a story that people are already thinking about this time of year, at least a piece of that story of Christ coming into the world. And I want to look at the beginning of John with you. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn there with us, we'll be in the first few verses of John today. And I won't really bounce around a whole lot. I just want you to get involved in this part of the story. And you may be, I don't know, I see that we do have visitors. We have, and I don't know all of you perfectly either. Maybe sometimes you have a hard time grasping that all of this story is true. Or you don't believe it. Or it has some implications in your life if it was true. And you're just not sure how you feel about that. So for our time together right now, I just want to ask you one favor. And that's that you just, for just at least these 20 minutes or so, let yourself believe that this story is true. And see, try it on and see how it feels. And think about, and this is what we'll talk about as we go through this, what the world would be like if it was. What would be different? What would be different about your life if this story was true? And again, I do believe that this story is true that we're going to talk about. You're probably at least familiar with the facts of the story, right? Even Charlie Brown Christmas will give that to you. I always love to hear him read from Luke 2 and that. Just that the world was in darkness, and a Savior was born, right? And you get this, just that's the very basics of that story, and the good things that it meant, the glad tidings and good news, and that light overcomes darkness. And it was the start of his life here on earth. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record all of those very factual events very well. They let you know where the people were, who was involved, who was what part they all played. John gives you a bit of a different view of it. John 1, the first few verses, is almost like a story within a story, where he gives you the whole story of the Bible, almost, but just in a few verses. And if you don't know the whole story of the Bible, you probably won't get as much depth from John 1. And in fact, I know that I will not cover all of the goodness and depth of John 1 with us this morning, because Dave, you got up last week and you said you were reading through your notes, you know, and you found new things. I think you can do that every time you read John 1. So I know that I won't cover everything. I hope that we can just cover a few things with you today, and what that implies about the world that we live in, and if this story was true. So I'm just going to read, first of all, just read the story. And then once I've read it, we'll come back and highlight a few points. And that's all we're going to do. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about what we see here. In the beginning was the Word. I'm going to stop real quick. I'm sorry. Pretend, again, like if you've just heard this a million times in your life, let this be a new story again for you. And think about what he's saying here, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Now, if that was the introduction of a book that you just picked up for the first time, would that not make you just kind of wonder what is going on? It seems like it has so much in it about things that were and things that are and things that will be. And it does. And so what we're going to do, again, I'm just going to go back towards the beginning here. We won't cover all the things, but as we think about Christ coming into the world, pick up just a few bits and pieces of what John is telling us here, and why that's so important. From the very beginning of this, you see that whoever this is that we're going to be talking about, right, as if you didn't know, this Word, that it was with God and it was God. Now, have you ever thought about trying to be with something and be that something at the same time? Isn't that already confusing? I can't be with Brent and be Brent, right? Like, I don't think I can. You can't be with somebody and be somebody all at the same time. And yet, here we see this wonderful paradox that this Word is both with God and is God all at the same time. So, it's equal with God, and yet distinct from God. It is God, and it's also its own entity. He was in the beginning with God. Right there, he already put a pronoun to it. It's not just an empty, you know, idea that we're talking about. We're talking about a he. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Nothing that was made without him. So that tells you he wasn't made. And it tells you also that he had a hand in everything that was created. Every single thing that you see around us that was made by God. And so if you think about, maybe you're probably familiar with Genesis 1. How does Genesis 1 start out? In the beginning, God created. It's the same words. It's the same language. It's the same. John here is almost, this is that story in a story thing here. Just by starting out his book this way, he's letting you know that this has to do with something that was already been. It goes all the way back to creation. In the beginning was, you know, God created. And John is letting you know, if you didn't know already, that this word, this he that we're talking about, was right there with God in that creation. And that all things were made through him. And then this is where it starts to get interesting, because this is where you come in. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You've felt darkness before, right? You may have been in physical darkness that you could feel. You've done maybe a cave tour where you go in and everybody, at the same time, you turn off all your lights and then you try to put your hand in front of your face and you can't even see it. I do this sometimes at night. I know my bedroom is not that dark, but it feels really dark to me when we first turn out the lights and I start feeling like I don't even know where I am, you know, because I can't see anything. There's this reality, though, that we know that there's a darkness in the world that all of us have felt on some level. Some of us a lot more than others, or seen or witnessed. That this concept of probably any story that you thought of at the beginning of this lesson, you know, of good versus evil, of light versus dark. And at the same time, we know that our life here has some end. Anybody would believe that because it's just part of the reality of the world that you see when you look around you, that life comes to an end. But then here he says, in him, whoever this him was, right, as if we don't know yet, was the life, and the life was the light of men. So if you are in some kind of darkness, this is where this gets personal for you, because this he has life, and that life is your light. And it gets even better. So there was a man sent from God. Almost a little bit of a break here. So we're going to see who this is. And this man is not the light. He just came to talk about the light and to tell people about the light and to turn people to the light so that all might believe through him. And his name is John. This John has a very special and unique purpose, right? He is to go out as a witness, as somebody who just lets people know who this he is, this light, this from the beginning, this word. And then in verse 9 it says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And again, I think that this just highlights what this light is that he's talking about. That it's very different than all the little lights that are in your life. And that doesn't mean that the little lights in your life are bad, okay? You can think of some little lights, right? Family is a light. When things are bad and you've got good family on your side, that is a light. When you have good friends, that is a light. You've got maybe a change in your situation could be a light. But at the same time, they're not the light. They're not the true light. Sometimes we let them over or outshine the light. And John is saying here, there's something special about this light. It is the true light, the one light that really matters. And it is above all the rest. And it was coming into the world. Now, not everybody was ready for it, he says. He says he was in the world, as he did create all things. All things were created through him. And the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And that gives you a little glimpse of what the rest of the book of John is really about. That this light, as it comes into the world, A lot of people claimed to be looking for him, and then they didn't want him when he got here. Some people who weren't really looking for him were surprised by him and came to love him. But many of the people who he came to just rejected him outright and wanted nothing to do with him. But then again, here's the part where you get involved. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Again, if you're just reading a story and you find out that there is a God, that God created all things, that he's over all things, that he gives purpose to man, and then he also lets you know that you have the right, through the one that he sent, to become his child, to become a child of the Most High God. What an incredible privilege. What an incredible concept or an idea. This is not like anything else that you find in the world. This is not, you read about mythology or other things, and where do they give you the right to become children of God? It's just like it doesn't happen. This is a very special story then. And then here's where we get, I guess, almost into the Christmassy time, right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among them. Dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this Word that was from the beginning, that all things were made through him, he's the true light, the life of men, and he became flesh. He went from being this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-perfect everything, and not necessarily giving up those specific attributes, but he became a person. He became killable, vulnerable. And this is one of those things that I think, Chris, wherever you went, there you are. You were talking about how sometimes the world doesn't get the whole depth of Christmas, of this baby coming into the world. And part of it is because I don't think they see what happens next often enough, where in becoming flesh, he knows what it's like to be you. So that darkness that you've experienced in your life, that difficulty, that stress, that strain, he's been there because he grew up in that. He left riches to come into poverty. He left a home to give up a home and to, for many years, be homeless. To just wander. If you felt despair in your life, he has felt despair. If you have felt anger, he has felt anger. If you have felt loneliness or sadness or heartache or sorrow or betrayal or humiliation, whatever those difficult things that you're going through are, the good news, one of the great things about this time to know that the Word became flesh is to know that Jesus took on what we have to deal with every day, and then he's dealt with it. And he's been there. We call him Wonderful Mighty Counselor. There's a reason that he's so good at this. It's because he's been through it and he's beaten it. Whatever you've been through, he is maybe not your exact situation. Right, he's not lived all of your lives, but he has lived life here and lived a pretty rough one. If you read the rest of John, you get to see how really difficult it was for him. That word dwelt, you might know this one already. That word dwelt there is the same word that he uses in the Old Testament for the tabernacle. Now, this is, again, where you need a little bit of backstory to understand why that story makes any sense or matters. So, in the beginning, when God created this perfect and wonderful world and made it so that he could dwell with his people. Now, that didn't last a whole long time, right? Sin comes in. People make bad choices. That sin separates us from God. And because of that, they had to leave that perfect garden. They had to leave a dwelling place with God. But God has been seeking and put promises in place, even from that time, that that would be fixed. We read a little bit of that in Revelation, that that one day we'll be dwelling with God again in a very permanent sense. And as almost a stepping stone, what did God have them build in the Old Testament where he could dwell among his people? The tabernacle, right? That's this tent of meeting where you come and you can meet God where he was, that he dwelled among his people. And so John here is saying that Jesus, or the Word becoming flesh, tabernacled among us. That this is now, again, God with us. That he's come to dwell with us. See, we couldn't get it right, so he just came down here to fix it. We kept messing it up. We got all the sacrifices, and no matter how many, you know, sacrifices they made, it can't really atone for things. Not fully, not really. And so he just said, okay, I'll come and tabernacle with you in the flesh. Not through smoke and clouds and fire, but as one of you. To know what it's like, to know what it feels like. And that's why he's such a faithful and wonderful high priest. Hebrews tells us about this. Again, I'm getting out of John a little bit. We won't go over there. But Hebrews talks about how he's been through what you've been through, and not just the bad things, but the temptations. He knows what it's like to feel pulled away from God. He also knows what it's like to fight that and defeat it. All right, we're going to wrap this up here pretty quick. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Another version might read, no one has ever seen God, the only Son who dwells at the Father's side, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. That is to say that in God coming and dwelling among us as Christ, he has made God known. See, throughout the Old Testament, people wanted to see the glory of God, and they couldn't because it would just kill them. You just can't handle it. And yet here it is in this form that you can see God, you can behold his glory, because this is God in the flesh. This is God among us. So remember I asked you at the beginning of this, what does all this mean for you? What would it mean if, you know, if Harry Potter were true, or Star Wars, or Lord of the Rings, or any of those cool stories? This is the only one that you really have to deal with, because you know, as much as you might want it to be, Harry Potter's just not going to be real. It just won't ever happen. But this is real. This is something you actually have to grapple with, if you've not done that before. It's something that we have to continue to grapple with as we come to know him better. As we come to know Christ, we come to know God, and we know what he expects and what he wants from his people. You have today, because he came, the right to become children of God for all those who believe in him. And if you today need to know what it's like to have that belief, what that belief means and entails, what it means to know God and love him and to serve him, I hope that you won't leave here today before you talk to somebody about what that means for your life. Because for him to come in the flesh and then say, I am God, he multiple times throughout the book of John equates himself to God. He forgives sin. He dies for your sin. Only God can do that. But that doesn't mean that you can just only look at him at Christmas time and then be okay with him for the rest of the year to put him back on the shelf or put him back in the box with the nativity scene, you know? He's full time. He's all the time. He's Lord. And there are really great and wonderful implications of that, the first of which is just the right to become children. If you're ready to be a child of God today, or you think about it and you're ready to talk, I hope that you'll make that decision today. It's the best decision you can make, and like Chris read out of Revelation earlier, it will mean one day a permanent dwelling place with God among his people. Where all of the darkness will be undone, no matter how bad the world gets, it cannot win. The darkness has not overcome the light, and it will not. So if you're ready for that to be a reality today, I hope you'll come as we stand and sing.